Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you can hear me good. I am outside doing my next verse-by-verse teaching. We are in Matthew, starting with chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 1. We finished up 10 the other day. We were out street preaching early this morning, got blown away by the wind. Everybody ran for shelter, so we also took shelter and decided to work online, so I worked on this verse by verse. Matthew 11, starting with verse 1. Let's go there. You can catch up on all the other Matthew 11 teachings at don'tperish.com. Look up the verse by verse studies. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Hope you can hear me good. There's a lot of noise out here, but this is what I do on the fly out in this world of preaching Christ crucified, traveling. All right, so in this verse, Jesus is finishing his commanding and commissioning the disciples, and then he goes to preach in the cities himself. I always like to remind people, go look up that word preach. It's a public crier. This is proof that Jesus was active as a street preacher. And this is important because people are always telling us what I do, telling me what I do is unbiblical, but man-made religion has turned the so-called faith of God into this building-centered, pulpit-controlled, hired man system. But it's not true. It's not of God. Jesus and his disciples were out and about taking the gospel, the kingdom of God had come, the good news, out to the people. Yeah, they'd go to the synagogues, they'd go to the marketplaces. Jesus said, go preach it all over, not just inside religious buildings. Amen? Amen. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. All right, John the Baptist is in prison. What's he in jail over, do you recall? He called out the ruler who had married his brother's wife while his brother was still alive. This was a sin under Torah law. I guess this shows us that one sin matters. John ended up getting his head cut off over calling out a leader for one sin. You don't think one sin matters? John the Baptist thought it matters. And we'll see what Jesus thinks about John the Baptist later in this study. So he sends two of his disciples to make an inquiry of Christ. Verse 3. And he said unto him, art thou he? Excuse me. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? All right. So notice here, these disciples of John, what they're asking. Their question is, Jesus, is he the one, or is there another that's supposed to come? Now, this is where it gets complicated. Many over history have said, hey, this is John the Baptist, and he's in jail, and he's questioning who Jesus really is. He's questioning the very deity, and is Jesus the Messiah? But I'm here to tell you, I don't think that's what is going on here, and I think I'm going to be able to prove that if we understand how Jesus teaches and corrects and rebukes and exhorts. So we're going to read on and we're going to see that. Now, why do I say this? Why do I say it may not be John the Baptist questioning, but his disciples? That's what I'm telling you here. I don't think it's John the Baptist questioning Jesus. I think it's his disciples. And why would I say that? In John 3, we see John's disciples seemingly have an issue over Jesus and his ministry. John 3, 25 and 26. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptize, and all men come to him. They're talking about Jesus. So these disciples had an issue or a question about Jesus. So what I'm raising here is, with all the evidence we're going to see, is it possible, I'm going to show you the other evidence, is it possible that these same men were questioning, wanting to know about Jesus, so John sent them to ask Jesus? I think that's very probable, And I know that I am doubting that John was questioning Jesus' deity, and you're going to see why as we read on. John grew up with Jesus. John baptized Jesus. John made the way for Jesus. I believe John knew who Jesus was, but bear with me, and we'll get there. I believe it's John's disciples seeking more truth about Jesus, not John himself. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. So Jesus sends them back to John with miracle proof, right? This serves as a kind of rebuke or correction for them. And could it be also that it was encouragement for John who was in prison? Think about that. I think this makes sense that Jesus is sending them back to answer to John. Why? John's their teacher. And so they probably had questions to John. Jesus is sending them back to John with proof of the miracles and the evidences, maybe giving John also encouragement in jail. And again, I think the verses ahead in this study I'm doing right here are going to show you why I don't think John was lacking doubting Jesus' deity. Verse 5, that the blind receive their sight, and that the lame and the lepers are cleansed, and that the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. All right, so Jesus is proclaiming that the power the Father gave him and the evidence of it is happening, and it's to bolster these men's faith in him. Remember Matthew 28:18, I quoted this earlier. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So Jesus is proving this with these signs, these wonders, these miracles. It's proof of his ministry that the kingdom has come, like the ultimate proof, his resurrection after his death. Amen? Verse 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. All right, I think this is key. Here, Jesus is saying something that kind of fits my theory about John. He says, blessed are those who are not offended in me. This word is kind of doubting or denying him, or who has caused an issue over him. These disciples of John showed that they had a doubt or issue about Jesus way back in John 3, as I showed you. And so now they're coming asking questions. That word offend is scandalizo. Scandalizo. It's where we get the word scandal from in English. And it means to cause a person to fall away, trip up, have displeasure. So John's disciples had an issue, some kind of displeasure with Jesus. They asked him about it earlier. I proved that. And Jesus is saying, blessed are those who have no issue with me. This means to fully receive Christ as Messiah, not doubt him, to receive his miracles, his word, his truth. And again, let's keep going. I think the next verses prove why I don't think John was doubting Jesus, but it was these disciples of John. Verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what ye went out into the wilderness to see a reed shaken with the wind? Okay. Jesus starts to talk about John after those disciples leave. And in many, many cases where people were lacking faith, Jesus gives a rebuke, a correction, and calls it out. Remember, we've read some of these in early in the Matthew study. Here, instead of Jesus correcting John if John was doubting that Jesus is deity, no, he goes on to be doing something very, very different with John than that. He says this. He says, he's talking about a reed shaken in the wind. That would be what? A weak man, right? Tossed about. Reeds are what? They're unstable. They get blown all over in the wind, tossed and turned, right? Like people who get tossed and turned by lies and false doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So that's what Jesus is saying. What, did you come to see a reed shaken? Well, John was not that, that's for sure. Jesus is using what's called an antiphrasis. It's stating the opposite of what's true, in this case, to prove a sound point. Hey, did you come to see a reed shaken in the wind? That wasn't John. Now, if John was doubting Jesus' faith, why would Jesus now be building this case of how strong John was? Wait till you see what he says about John. I think it's going to prove my point. Verse 8, But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Again, another kind of opposite statement. Jesus is painting the picture of John as a rugged man of God, not a polished, fancy, hypocritical Pharisee like we see in the temple that's displayed through all of the Gospels, right? Matthew 3:4. And the same John, who is this John? We're going to read about it. Matthew 3:4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. John was a rough, rugged prophet of God, not some soft, hypocritical Pharisee, not a man tossed about by the reed or by the wind, tossed about like a reed. Jesus is setting us up for something about John. And it's not a rebuke of his lacking faith. Here we go. Verse 9. But what ye went out to see? Excuse me. But what ye went out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. All right, I had to stop there because a siren went by. So we're at verse 9. But what went out ye for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Okay, Jesus is saying more than a prophet? Jesus is about to praise John in a way he's never praised any other man. John's not getting a rebuke for a lack of faith and lacking that Christ is the Messiah, but he's about to get a sound endorsement from Christ. This is why I believe this is proof. John didn't doubt Jesus. Verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way, thy way before thee. Now, Jesus is reminding them of John's calling. Hardly evidence that he was lacking faith in Christ as Messiah. John was given the task of preparing the way for Jesus' ministry and announcing him. We could read about that in Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. The voice of him crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a way for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. All right, so Jesus is telling us what John had to do. Those verses back up what John was called to do. And here in this next verse, Jesus tells us about John. Does John get a rebuke for lack of faith? No. Verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. All right. Jesus makes this statement about John, the greatest man ever. Think about it, saints and seekers, if you're with me. Does it make any sense if John was doubting that Jesus was the Messiah, Christ, deity, God in the flesh, that Jesus would say this about John? It makes no sense. This is why we read verses after verses that trouble us to get to the truth. We see no rebuke of John for his lack of faith, but a ringing endorsement as the greatest man who ever lived. This doesn't make any sense to me. Versus the people that say John was doubting Jesus. John knew who Jesus was. I believe that. His disciples are the ones that had an issue of doubt, not John. He sent them to ask Jesus. I think Jesus' confidence and praise of John is all we need to see. He didn't rebuke him like everyone else that was lacking faith. Remember, God's not partial, not a respecter of persons. And this is a great example as we study the Word of God that we should not just believe things are so and say quickly, oh, John was doubting, when it may not be so. This is why we divide the Word, 2 Timothy 2:15, straight. We don't cut it, twist it, bend it our way. We don't twist it or judge it wrong just because of what other people say. In doing that, we then miss the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is giving John a ringing endorsement, not a rebuke for his faith. And so I think I have given you enough evidence to put a doubt or at least prove, maybe at least put a doubt or proven that John was not doubting Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. And it was his disciples that were doubting him. Otherwise, it makes no sense for Jesus to give this great recommendation of John, who was just doubting that Jesus even was who he was. Doesn't make any sense. And then at the end of that verse, Jesus says, the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than John. This kind of reminds me of verse Matthew 5, verse 20. And for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so if we look at this verse, I think the main point here is John was given a great honor, probably the greatest honor of any man, to be the voice heralding before Christ came, right? What an honor. And then he says, but in heaven, I believe this is what Jesus means, but in heaven, being there in heaven, in God's glorious eternity, it's going to be so much greater that even what John had to do on earth and what John did on earth, it's going to pale in comparison to being in heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus isn't demeaning John and what John had to do. Jesus is raising how magnificent heaven will be, and being there and getting there, how awesome that's going to be compared to anything else that is on earth. Anyone who's already in heaven, that goes far beyond anyone's mere efforts here on earth. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. It's hard to word it sometimes the way you can understand what I'm thinking, but I hope I did that. I think I'm going to leave it right there. We're going to stop and pick it up next at verse 12. I hope that's been a blessing to you. I thank you for bearing with me via all the sound. This is what it is when you're a traveling preacher, teacher on the road. We were inside a little store, and I couldn't do this audio there, and I decided to stand out in the world so you could hear it, the glorious teaching of the Word of God. I hope it blessed you. Up next, we'll continue in Matthew 11. Go to don'tperish.com, see all kinds of resources, thousands of articles, audios, videos, sisters' blogs, street preaching videos, verse-by-verse teachings. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time, God be praised.